from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. You know, I don't have anything, you know, naturally hilarious to say like I usual. Totally, you know. But I do want to say that I'm glad you're here. And you're important to me. Your sleep, your rest, your ability to flourish and live your life. But mostly, you know, putting you at ease, that's important to me. You're important to me. It's a different way, you know, because it's a digital sense. But, you know, I'm here to help. This is the way I can do it. So I'm glad you're here. Or if you're new, I'm here to try. And what do I mean? It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple questions. This only goes out if you're regular listeners Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would sleeping be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody, it's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone. I want to thank Elena, who supported BetterHelp. Elena really enjoyed using the app and said it made it effortless to keep in contact with her therapist. So thank you so much, Elena, for letting me know about that, for sharing that with me. Thanks for supporting the sponsor. And you can find out about BetterHelp and all our other sponsors over at sleepwithmepodcast.com/sponsors. And when you check out a sponsor, let me know about it so I can say thank you on the air. And share with the sponsor if you can. And that is the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Poster Song.
Sounds like a near fall.
Wrote the theme song.
Edits episodes too.
Carl W. The Legend.
Also edits episodes.
Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer.
Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website.
I am the Mystery Bard.
I do the lullabies, yeah.
I do commissions at
JonathanMann.net.
I'll write a song for you.
Any reason at all.
You can tell me the story and
I'll make it personal.
You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators.
Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com.
And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you'll find me. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it as a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake. Whether it's, thoughts you're thinking about the past, present, or the future, or all of them, which is common for me. Past, present, or future, whether you're having some physical things coming up, you're feeling, feelings or emotions, changes, life, moving, any of those, schedule, whatever's keeping you up, I'd like to take your mind off of that. And so what I'm going to do is I got this nice, safe place, plenty of room. I got room set aside just for you. And the reason I did that is because you do deserve a good night's sleep. So I have some space here. And you could just check it out and try it out. If you're new, you say, not sure about this. I say, okay, give it a little more time. There's a safe place. You could, you could even be like a cat. And you'll walk by it. Maybe I got a chair nearby. You could sit under and look into the safe place. Then you could walk over it. You could sniff it or proverbially, and then do some kit. The cat, whatever the cat does when they massage the ground. Because sometimes they're doing that to get it ready, but other times they say, "Let me just check the safe place out. Let me see what the." Do cats ever use the word fungibility? First of all, is that a word? What does it mean? Because I hope it means something sleepy. Because I asked a cat once, in a dream, of course. They said, what are you doing there? Are you massaging the ground? No, I'm checking for fungibility, Scoots. And I said, normally other personified beings, I would ask for an explanation, but not a cat, because I don't want to get that cat look. Well, what is fungibility? I've heard the word fungible, but I'm not sure if I had it in context. I need more context to figure out what fungible means or fungibility. Maybe this will be the first time I ever look up something during an intro. Usually I don't. So I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky dulcet tones, pointless meanders, superfluous tangents, just like that fungibility one. We'll be going back to that one to go, back and around again. Let's see, what else? So I'm going to send my voice across, lulling, soothing, pointless meanders, all to keep you company as you drift off. So if you're new, I'm glad you're here. Right up front, I'll say, give this podcast a few tries. That's what everybody that's a regular listener says. And this podcast doesn't work for everybody, but I hope it works for you. And the easiest way to explain it is that it's going to take me a while to explain it, but to kind of passively consume this podcast, like either view it out of focus, listen to it in a way that's kind of letting it drift in and out of your ears. And see how it goes. It's almost like whatever, I would say try it on for size, but whatever's less than that, when you're in a, you're more a window shopping, you say, like with the safe place, you say, I'm not so sure about the look of that. You're doing the testing for fungibility as a cat, which we'll get to in a sec, and I'll look that up. But if you're also new, I want to give you a couple, things to know. So structurally, how the show works, it starts off with business. That's how we're able to keep it free for you and all the hundreds of thousands of other listeners and coming out twice on a regular basis, which is important to me, is that the show's free for everybody. There's an intro, which we're probably maybe 30% through. And the intro is about 15 minutes long. Maybe it's 12 minutes. You could skip it. I would say start skipping it once you become a regular listener. Because the reason the intro is about 15 minutes, it's not 15 minutes of me actually explaining anything or asking for anything or anything like that. It's just me. It's 15 minutes of me helping you wind down by mis-explaining the podcast. So ideally it feels familiar. Because every time I explain what the structure is, it's a little bit different every time, though. I guess that's what I meant. I don't know what I was going to try to explain or mis-explain. And so over time, I've discovered that that 12 to 15 minute intro just works for most people. Like, it's easy to skip ahead for the people that just want the story stuff. You just set your podcast to start at 20 minutes or skip ahead about that far. But for some people, like, they start getting ready for bed to the intro. Other people are already in bed, getting comfortable and winding down. So kind of like a long runway. Or like a cat, to go back to that one, because we're talking about that. It's like the cat doesn't just pump the ground two or three times. You know, they'll walk in a few counterclockwise four times, then clockwise three times. Then they'll go in the other room. Then they'll go sit under a chair and look at that. Then they'll pump the ground. Then they might lie down, or they might not. You know, they might sit there for a minute. So kind of do that. You can do that passively, so you don't got to worry about it. You say, man, that must be exhausting being a cat. And you say, Scooch, are you being ironic or not? And I say, I'm not sure. That's where cats say, that's why we turn our noses up. No one's ever empathetic with us, how tiring it is to be a cat. I mean, I know all the dogs are laughing along, and all the other pets, right? Hardy, har, har. But it could be tiring. You'd say, the cat might be like, you think this looks meditative and relaxing. Actually, it is. I was kidding. It's not great. Being a cat is great. The cat's like, I'm already chilled out. And then when I want to go to sleep, I do things. I have a bedtime routine, too. That's very meditative. And it's not set. Like, sometimes I walk counterclockwise. I just see how it feels, man. That's why people say as cool as a cat. Oh, I thought it was as cool as a cucumber. Scooch, you got to cool down, man. Try massaging your bed before you get in it tonight. I might do that. I'd just be afraid somebody would look in the window and see me massaging my bed with my hands and my knees, and then crawling around my bed clockwise and counterclockwise. And that would fit the narrative they've already established for me as a neighbor, which would be correct. So you're right. I may try doing that. You're right. Thanks, Kat. Hey, Kat, did you know what fungible meant? Of goods contracted for without an individual able to replace or be replaced by another identical item, mutually interchangeable. So would testing for fungibility, in economics, fungibility, so it is a real word. Fungibility is a property of a good or a commodity whose individual units are essentially interchangeable. Didn't I write a musical called Essentially Interchangeable? It was before the Lego movie came out, I tried to write a Lego musical, and it was like, I didn't know what fungibility meant, Essentially Interchangeable. That was the name. That was one of the big numbers in the Lego musical I wrote. Right. Oh, I didn't write it. I just thought about it. It's actually a great song because the original one is like, not to tease, not to go off topic again, but it was like in the first act when the Lego, it's actually just two Pips, Pip 1 and Pip 2. You know, that was one of the more brilliant. People said, why isn't it Pip? And I said, well, I don't want to do two numbers. Pip 1 and Pip 2 are the stars of the Lego musical. Again, just imaginary. Don't worry, Lego. Don't send me any letters from Denmark or wherever else. I get enough of them. Remember when you and Playmobil were coming after me? Maybe that was during the musical. But what was I saying? Oh, during Act 1, when they sing Essentially Interchangeable, it's like a glorified song of pride. Oh, this is why you probably wouldn't want me to make the musical, because then in Act 2, it's not a happy song. Suddenly they realize being essentially interchangeable isn't so great. You know, that's the number that's almost in every musical, which kind of goes so much more than Pip 1 or Pip 2. So much more. And then in parentheses, then Pip 1 and Pip 2. Oh, they're not called Pips. Maybe that's why that's what some part of my brain just said. But so fungibility, I guess maybe that is why cats pumping the ground, because they say, they are testing for fungibility. Like they're saying, is this going to offer an interchangeable level of comfort to where I slept yesterday? He said, yeah, that is actually where you slept yesterday. So it is essentially interchangeable. It's just like, you know, 0.3 centimeters difference on the carpet where he slept or on the chair. So I guess that's good. I was actually may have been using accidentally fungibility correctly. I just had to shoehorn it in there. Okay, so if you're new, oh boy, that was a longer tangent. It was a good one, though, I think. We got a Lego musical in there, cat interview. And I would posit to say, were you thinking about anything else? Because the goal of the show is to take your mind off whatever's keeping you up and to keep you company as you drift off. So there's no pressure to listen. That's kind of rule one. Or to make sense of stuff. This isn't a rule, but I guess if it was rule two, it would actually be like, because rule two is you don't need to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for about an hour. You drift off when you're ready to, or just when you do. Hopefully it's like you just drift off. You don't even know it, right? You wake up tomorrow. You say, I'm pretty sure Scoots was writing a musical about dice. It was about a triangle one, whatever that was, it was called The Cry of the Four-Sided Die. He said it's going to be a great, I think that's what he was singing about. Oh, he wasn't singing. I don't know. I went to sleep during it, I guess, honey. So there's no pressure to fall asleep, though, because I'm going to be here till the end. So if you can't sleep, I'm still here to keep you company. I'm your boar bud, right? And that's what I do. That's my job. You do deserve a good night's sleep, and I'm hoping to help. Oh, the other rule that I was thinking of is there's no pressure to like me or this podcast. I mean, it's a little late now to say this, and I try to remember to say it earlier. But, yeah, if you're skeptical... if you're skeptical, it's perfectly natural. I mean, if somebody says, hey, this podcast is going to put you to sleep, and then you say, but it's made up of creaky dulcet tones and pointless meanders, and, you know, whatever else he was talking about, I got no idea. I'm not so sure about this thing. I'd say, well, this might be the podcast. If you're saying, I'm not so sure about this thing, or what in the what, it may be the podcast for you. But if you're already saying like good glory Joseph or Josephine or whatever, or something even more intense than that, go to sleepwithmepodcast.com/no thank you. Like if you're sure the podcast isn't for you, you don't have to give it a few more tries. But I'd say do it anyway, because I hope we can help you fall asleep. I know what it's like to be tossing and turning and not be able to fall asleep. So that's why I make the show, is just to help the listeners that I can, because I really want you to get a good night's sleep and get comfortable. And ideally, if you do get here and you say, well, first time I was like, I had a kind of distaste for it. This is a very common review. Second time, I was like, oh, okay, I think I get that you're not supposed to get it. Third time, oh boy, now I've been listening for 4 or 5 years. I mean, I really have the extreme honor of talking to people like that have been listening, or they leave, you know, their life changes, they come back, they listen for 6 months, you know, so you see how it goes. I guess that's my main message. I hope the podcast can help, or it can become something fungible for you. You say, well, sometimes I use Sleep With Me. Sometimes I use Sleep Whispers with Scoots' buddy Harris, or The Empty Bowl, or Sleepy, or, you know, some other non-sleep podcast, or I listen to Choo Choo Trains, or I sing myself to sleep, or I listen to parakeets or ocean waves. You know, Scoots is fungible for me. I'd like to put the funge in fun. No, not the funge in fungible. Nice try, brain. Just the fun. I have enough funge. I wonder if funge is part of, like, fungible. So that doesn't sound like a Latin root to me, funge. Maybe it does, though. Orange, ornum. Funge. How do you even spell that? Is there an E in there? Fungible. Oh, maybe it's fungible, not fungible. Would Barry White sing a song about, I don't know, I'd have a tough time thinking of how it would fit in there to be fungible. Anyway, so I'm glad you're here. Sorry about that little lull there. I should have stuck to the Lego musical, not the fungible musical. But here's the thing. I'm glad you found this way to your way to this podcast, or if you're a regular listener, I'm still glad you're here with me in that I can be a part of your bedtime and take some of the seriousness out, maybe soothe you, maybe distract you to be your boyfriend, your boar bud, your boar bay, your boar sib, your boar cuz, your boar bestie, or your boar bra. You know, I'm just here to help the way I can, which is goofing around. Oh, tonight after, so we'll have the intro. I think I was like 10 minutes ago, I was explaining the structure of the show, and then I got off topic, I think, about something that I probably forgot about. But so, yeah, there's the intro, then there's some business, then there's the story. Tonight it'll be a episodic story, so you could listen to this episode. It's a talk about lulling. It's about a world without mathematics, because it's the adventures of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. And then we have some thank yous at the end of the show. So that's a structure show. I really appreciate you coming by and checking it out if you're new or if you're a regular listener. I really hope I can help. I work very hard. I yearn and I strive and I want to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep this show free for everybody. Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com. to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of our ongoing episodically modular series, The Adventures of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, The Tale of Two Heroic Figures. It's episodically modular, so you can listen to it in any order, so don't worry, I'm going to catch you up on everything right now. Our tale follows Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, traveling performers who live in a post-math world, a world not without, I mean, it would say, if we did a trailer, it would say a world without math, but that's not 100% true. A world where the basic underlying principles of math have eroded. Some have vanished and some are deteriorating, and some are like missing in one area and not another. So area, like, but a post-math world, the unity, and some would say on the other side of this issue, the dominance of math has finally waned. Believe it or not, it was the fourth generation of Wayne Enterprises that said that. And I said, what would Bruce say? That you said, here at Wayne Enterprises, we believe math has waned, or whatever I see. Anyway, not important to anything. I said, for the love of Alfred, can't you believe, you know, but so actually I didn't say that because I wasn't there. So it's a world in a time, like at one point it was just like ours. And then a goddess came, or a force, or a, like a, not a superhero or heroine in this case, But, you know, like a Thanos-like character came and removed, they were the one who came and took math away. And I don't talk about this in a lot of interest, but some of it may have been, like, seductively. I mean, I don't mean in the hubba-hubba-hoo-hoo seductively. I mean, culturally, you say, well, wouldn't you want to live in a world without math? Wouldn't that be great? Do you really need math? Do you believe, you know, that whole 9 yards? We've been through it, I think, but now with math. And so a world without math is really not a world. It becomes a bit like the Dark Ages, because suddenly without math, you realize, I mean, this is paid for by math, this episode. In some sense, it is paid for by math. This episode of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles brought to you by the principles of math, but it's a piece of fiction, so we got to take our time to get there. And also even introduce the episode. So the main characters are Dr. Triangle, Isosceles, and Ada the mule, or donkey, I'm not sure. And they were tasked with the goddess Shashat to return math to our world, one principle at a time. And so they go around, they're traveling around mostly, I think, the Midwest, or what you say is the middle of the United States, which is it's a postmodern time because it was modern and now they don't got any modern stuff. I filled that part in. No more TV. You say, well, I'm so sick of math. I say, are you sick of TV? Because I don't know why I just want to explain it. I guess I'm pro math, not a fan of math, but I like it. I use it, don't understand it. Just wanted to put that out there. So each episode is what is that called? I always forget it. Procedural type series where Dr. Triangle and Isosceles head to somewhere, try to figure out what the math principle is that's missing, and restore it, usually veiled in some sort of mystery or lacking or need. Not really super mysterious, so I wouldn't say it's an actual mystery, but they're procedurally supposed to bring math back to the area. And as traveling performers, I don't know what else has come. You know, Dr. Triangle is not necessarily a doctor, but plays a doctor or a variety of doctors. Isosceles is more of the gravitas type actor. But I think that's it. I think I got it. It's a tale of a world without math, and only two heroic figures can come and restore math to the world for some reason. Also, Ada the Mule, who is our narrator from time to time, is our new series. And also we have a Hollywood, us buying time, you know, because traffic can be unpredictable, especially at rush hour, which is today. I decided to record at rush hour about 8 hours ago when I texted Mr. Antonio Banderas to get up here and spend 4 minutes introducing the series. And in this case, you probably drive back immediately, or you could stay here without me being here, I guess, because I got to go do something. You could stay here with Koa, and you could, spend time with one another. You could even sleep over if you want, because I have a bed on the floor right now, because I had family here. But it's, ladies and gentlemen, oh, that's your line, you're right, Mr. Antonio Banderas. The ladies, the gentlemen, the boys, the girls, the friends beyond the binary. It's time for another episode of the amazing adventures of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. Oh, yeah. I thought you had a tagline last time. But that's pretty good. I like how you called it the amazing adventures. Reminds me of Cavalier and Clay. Yes, my friend, that book got you a job, I remember. Yeah, it came up in my job interview. That was like a long time ago. So you really remember things. So are you going to stay over? I may. An evening with your dog Koa sounds fantastic. Thanks. So that's Mr. Antonio Banderas, who's going to lie down quietly in my bed on top of my comforter, which hopefully I've laid out already, and listen to me record. And it's time for another episode of Dr. Triangle and Isosceles. Hello, everyone. This is Ada the Mule here, and good to welcome. I know you know why you're here. And we're headed to the exact, well, I guess Dr. Triangle and Isosceles will talk to, we're headed to the center of things, and we're supposed to partake and supervise and assist with the census accounting of people that I guess is not going well. And I will tell you a couple of rule-based things that I know because I'm a mule and, maybe I'm more than a mule. And some may say, sin of a mule, you better watch out where you go. But, you know, not everyone would say that. Anyway, so the centermost point in the United States is where math is strongest. So that's one of the reasons we don't understand why, or I don't totally understand why. But it's one of the reasons the census is there. It makes it easier to count when you can use a little bit of math. And there's rival areas in the East and West Coast, so those communities aren't really open to the people. In the, so we're here getting it, bringing it, we're going to bring, we're headed, we're almost there, near the border of Kansas and Nebraska. I don't know if they call it the Heartland. I think they do, because this is actually the Heartland. And we're headed there to figure things out. And those two are going. Yeah, let me just turn it over to Isosceles and Dr. Triangle. Yes. So as I was saying, I feel like I drifted off there, like I could hear the mule talking or something. But I don't know. I mean, there's a, you know, census is it a sensei or a census? Like census is or sensei, but it's a biblical thing, census is. So I think there'll be probably plenty of things they could do a play about. And I mean, I could see, I don't really know a lot about censuses. What about you, Triangle? I mean, we're close. It seems like, they're trading in canned goods, which is always, it would seem very appealing to people. And they're saying it's a year's worth of canned goods, which I think technically means 24 cans per person. But you get one can right up front and then the rest on completion of the as partaking in the census. So I can't see why anyone would turn that down. But we really haven't seen a lot of people on the road. I mean, I'm not known for my powers of observation, but I notice the roads are not well-worn. You know, there's some traffic, but you'd think it'd be busier, because look, there it is at the field. I think it's a more temperate area than it had been, but this is still, the winters here could be tricky. Yes, I wasn't thinking of that because it's not winter, but I guess you were. Yeah, I try to think everything out. Okay, well, hello, we're looking for the head of the census. We're here, Isosceles and Dr. Triangle. We're booked as performers to entertain the census goers, the census takers, and the participants in the census, everyone involved. Run it. We'll sit up here. Is this the staging area for performing? Okay, thank you. I mean, it doesn't look very busy. And what did our contact say? This is supposed to be well underway. Yeah, my main concern is, I feel like this shouldn't be too much of a mystery that I thought they would have a problem with counting or adding or subtracting or sampling, something with numbers, because you see, even it's going to be tough, a census without math. or I mean, I know we were trying some tests out and math is stronger here, but it's not a full math. I mean, I could pretty much count everybody here. I could count the tenths and just write it down. We wouldn't even have to do any math. It would just be continuous counting. It wouldn't take me a day to count everybody here. Yeah, I mean, what we would probably do is take a, I guess we would, you're right, we wouldn't even need to take a sampling. We would just each do our own count and then compare the numbers and then figure it out from there. Well, you could just take my, I mean, I would do a grid system. I think if I could remember what a grid, well, you're right, it's difficult without math. So what do you mean? We just figure out what's missing, addition, subtraction, grids. What if it's multiple things? Would we, if we get one wrong, you think we'll have consequences? I don't know. Hi, are you the one? You're the head of the census? Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Oh, your mother's a ma'am. Oh, that's funny. That's very funny. Mine is too, I guess. I didn't mean to wander into that one. So is this, I thought you had been getting the census going for a while, where, and you have that great offer of canned goods. Where is everybody? No one's coming? That seems like an all or nothing statement. There are people here. Oh, so, okay, let's have a seat here. So this is Isosceles. I'm Dr. Triangle. Well, those are our working names. We're performing, we're working, and we're here to help. Okay, so tell me about the census. Okay, so you've got the word out. People are aware of it. Okay, so you have been spreading the word wide and far. Okay, followers of Shoshat were here, and they helped. So those, because those were cool. They weren't posters. They were made of wood, which makes sense. And paint, but it seemed like it was a permanent one. Come at whatever the phases of the moon in the month, I got all that off the poster. So people are aware of the census, but they're not, what you're seeing is more people are aware of it than have arrived here. Do you have any ability to, do you have any idea about So people started coming. Some people started coming and stopped on the way. They just stopped in another, like other communities, not one community. Okay. Oh, so that's what's baffling. The word was out. People were excited. The people that were informed were excited. They said where they would come. And then a much smaller percentage of people have shown up. Okay. Oh, but you don't know what you, okay, so if you knew, that would be useful, you're right. Okay, some people were making their way. And do you figure it was just too far? No, that was, all of the, okay, so that was all planned out. I mean, from what I'm thinking, Isosceles, I'm seeing a twinkle in your eye, and I think if we're probably on the same page. What do you think of this? I mean, I'll be honest, I think your census stinks. I mean, I think initially what happened, you know, because I've been doing theater for a long time. Let me tell you, you're already sitting down. Thanks. So initially those were put, you know, posted posters about the show, right? A census. Yeah. I know it's not a show. Thanks. And that's what I'm getting to actually is, what seems like a great deal, 2 canned goods per person. You know, the more people you have, the more canned goods. Be great to stock up on those. You know, on paper, that looks good. If you tell somebody, hey, come here, technically, I don't think it's a year's supply. You didn't write that. It was not an official poster. Okay, well, we won't quibble about those things, but it's not enough to motivate. That's what it is. You lost the motivation. And the good news is you got most of the people, it sounds like you got them on their way. You started and maybe you delivered. It just, your offer was not appealing enough. And I could see, like, you're a census person. You're not a performer. You don't see the world as I, Isosceles, see the world. And Dr. Triangle, you know, sees it in a way similar to me, but different, which is wonderful. And you see it in yet a different way, which is wonderful. It's the beauty of senses. And that's why we're here to help you is, I don't even know if this is a math issue. I think this is a marketing issue and a content issue, really. What we need to do is take the sense, first of all, and senses, you know what I'm saying? No, you don't know what I'm saying. I'm saying, and we could run this by the people that work with Shashat, because I see you have a temple set up nearby. Is if we'll get a budget. If we're not, we'll get creative. I'm saying, once in the first New World's Fair, something sweepstakes, something and a census. Okay, you still don't get it. We're going to have a giant festival. We're going to have a fair. We'll call it a fair. We don't have to call it the World's Fair. Come to the center of the earth, the fair, center of the World's Fair. You know, we'll work on the marketing. But you want to come, you want something that's going to come one, come all. So we'll have entertainment. We'll have things for the kids. We'll have, you know, we'll have a menagerie if we could track one down. We'll have professional performers, and we'll have shows. We could have maybe some, I don't know, what other entertainments we could come up with. We'll put the word out to them. Also, then they'll be participating in the census, all of the people working. Also, employment brings in more people. People brings in business people, you know, vendors and those things. I think we have to look at this, you know, as a little bit of a long-term project, Dr. Triangle. And I think we could get this thing off the ground without even using, you know, we don't even need to use math. We need to make this spectacular. Dr. Triangle, what do you think about all this? I think you're right on, Isosceles. And so I think we'll have some meetings. Let's get this moving forward. I think we're going to have to think in 3-month chunks. This may take 6 to 9 to 12 months. Or, you know, we might figure it out quicker. But I think, you know, if we talk to the stakeholders involved, I think we could, with the people involved, we'll get this census going. Yeah, but we're gonna take a little break here. We'll like get a little, you know. So why don't you go back and talk to the rest of your census team, and start to think. Good news, we're just here to help you. We don't want to get in the way of your census. We're not judging your ideas. I mean, Isosceles was, but we're really gonna plus this census. I guess that's what we're gonna take your census. We're gonna take it up to 11. Well, they used to say that in a movie. You did see that movie? So yeah, it's a funny movie. 2:11, right? It's this one goes to 11. Okay, well, yeah, I'm not an expert. I'm not a Dr. Movie. Well, I don't know Dr. Movie. I don't know if there is one, because there are ways to watch movies. I've learned it's very difficult. Okay, it's great. We'll see you. We're going to lie down and take a nap. Hey, everybody. This is Ada, your narrator. And so, you know, by the power of passing of time, when you're in the hands of a capable narrator, they started to enact a plan. They started to spread the word about an upcoming festival and fair, an opportunity to make, you know, not money, but, you know, to exchange goods, for people to be paid in goods, for their entertainment, say. For distractions, for fun. And as soon, and when I say soon, I mean in a 2 to 3 month time frame, this area not that far from the Kansas-Nebraska or border started to have more and more performers and vendors coming. And more and more excitement building. And more things is looking like, even I as Ada, if I was just a mule out in the world, I'd say, huh, that looks pretty cool. The Center of the World's Fair. They did end up calling it that, a little bit braggadocious, sweepstakes and census. So there's also signs of, you know, getting a chance, not just to get some goods, but to participate in a sweepstakes just by participating in the census with grand prizes. There's also, you know, feats of intelligence, feats of strength, many other competitive things. And some people did begin to trickle in. But again, because the machine of the census was already working with the vendors and the performers, they knew that the majority of the people were out there aware of the census, aware of the Center of the World's Fair and sweepstakes, but not making their way towards it. That's where we join our heroic figures. Okay, so everybody I talked to said all along the way people are just stopping or talking. I don't get it, because it's like the behavior's not exactly the same. Some people are just not coming. Some people are coming halfway and then saying, well, I think I'm going to stay in this town here. And some people are just saying, no, I'm not interested in sweepstakes. And it sounds too flashy. Sounds like, is that what you're getting? Yeah, it's confusing. It's almost like there's someone, we've got no reports of any activity running counter to us. But it's almost like there's a disinformation or something out there that we're not aware of, but no one's talking about it, so I can't, even though I can believe and imagine it exists, we would have some sort of, we would have heard some sort of report about it. Oh, like people telling them not to go, or it's not worth it. Yeah, we've been building good word of mouth. I mean, when a menagerie goes through your town, that's a very rare thing now. You see all the animals, the kids get a look. They say, where are you going? Well, we're going to the Center of the World's Fair and sweepstakes and census. Yeah, and all the Sachat's followers have been spreading the word. I don't get it. I don't get why it's not working. It's just baffling to me. Yeah, what I think we need to do, and again, you know, sometimes, this is the one time I really feel like we're in sync, the two of us. Well, I'm always in sync, but you were synced up. I mean, I really feel like what I mean by that is that I think your idea of plussing the census was brilliant, and I think maybe we just need to pluss the message. Okay, so you're saying the two of us go on a tour and just spread the word. I like how you're thinking in the long term. You're saying, okay, like, let's just keep at this. Now we have, in some sense, with all of the commerce going on here, it's a sustaining thing. It is like one of those long-term world's fairs they used to have. I mean, there's no more currency. It's just bartering, but... So we have the time to go out in the world and start spreading the word to the people, or at least get to the bottom of this. Or our job is to help. So I think we just go out there, we help try to get, I think like the two of us working together, maybe it's just that they don't know how to get people excited. They don't know how to, the je ne sais quoi of a sweepstakes and a world's fair and a census, that it's an exciting thing to be a part of. And that we have set aside respectful space for people that say, well, I'd like a little bit more room, or I don't want all the hubbub. Yeah, we have hubbub-free town. I mean, what else could you be? We have Dullsville, hubbub-free town. Isoville, those are the different areas we set aside. You forget about quiet. Well, that was Quiet Town, but we said, well, we already used town. It's still Quiet Town, to be named later, I put on the sign. Okay, so let's go out. Aid, are you ready? What do you think? Well, this is Ada. I'm not talking to them. But what do I think is that we did a head out and we set out across the middle of what once was the United States of America. And we visited the towns in the Kansas and Nebraska area and beyond. And we saw that the reports were true, that in some towns the populations had grown as people had made their way to the census and decided not to come. And they started to interview those people, mostly in a, you know, in a acting type way, to get to the bottom of why did you stop? And a lot of just because was a common answer. And as they started to dig deeper and interview more and more of these people and more of these towns, week after week, day after day, only about a few months, but month after month after month. And even explain to the people, say, you know, it's a sweepstakes. The entry is free just by going and participating in the census. Oh, do I have to participate in the census? And then quibbling about it, they say, well, no, wouldn't you go if you didn't have to participate in the census? You know, wink at it, no, because... what do they want to keep track of me for? You know, why do they need to know? Or people saying, I don't join things, or I don't want to be told what I should, you know, a lot of different, objections. And what are they going to do with the information? I said, well, we'll keep it popular. We're just trying to help know what the population here is in the, for who? And so there's a lot of resistance. And I guess I turn it over. Dr. Triangle and Isosceles are kind of talking about, I mean, this is just ridiculous. I mean, there's stubbornness, no offense, Ada. Stubborn as a mule. I don't get it. They refuse to. It's as if by trying to motivate them, it demotivates them. Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand when there's not really an agenda other than, I mean, I guess there is an agenda. It's like they're projecting something onto, because they say, okay, well, yes, there is a chance for people with expertise in things that are there going to be there for the census. They could help you with stuff if you're not feeling great, those kind of things. There is the distribution of food. There was all those pamphlets that the temple, Shoshat's temple, is working on about cultivating your own food, about stuff with water. And then the other projects we've worked on, keeping it warm in the winter. That was my favorite pamphlet. I didn't read any of the pamphlets. It's a problem with motivation, is what it is. We can't motivate. I think this is when with the math what happened a little bit. So maybe we're reliving it, or maybe this problem is coming up again in a different way. But they seem to be saying, don't tell me what to do, even though you're asking and offering some great stuff. That makes me I guess I still don't get it. Right, in saying, this is going to be tons of fun. Look at your kids. They can't wait to see juggling. You've lived in a world where juggling was rare. Well, I juggle at home. You remember that guy? Yeah, I do. I forgot about that. I juggle at home for my kids. They don't need to see anyone else juggle. Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to empathize with it, but it's like empathizing with walls. But it's the majority of people. And maybe it's just that some of them were part of the transition and some of them have grown up past in the post-math world. I mean, here's the thing. We just have to motivate everybody. And I think this particular town, the population's sizable and stubborn. I mean, that's why we're both And I think we need to lean into what we do best, the two of us, and perform. And what we could do is just use them as a test audience to see which performance will motivate them. We can't give up now. I think that's one thing we've learned. And there doesn't seem to be a math solution to this. We don't seem to have a math problem. Except 0 + 0 = 0. That's just me being, just a little grouchy, I guess. But we'll do some plays. And we'll get things going. I don't have any doubt about it. Okay, so what would be the lineup of the plays? I think maybe we'll take turns picking subjects. Why don't you go first? I was thinking of, remember the Green Goddess? What was her name? The Green Goddess. Oh, the moss-based woman that they named a salad dressing after. I forgot her name, but we could do a play about that. What's the subject of the play? I think goodness in maybe seeing nature on your way, but appealing to their good nature, community. Okay, I think community would be something different, but their goodness. It's for the good of everyone, for the good of. I got it. So I'll play the Green Goddess. Yeah, the moss-based woman. And so what would you do next? Well, I think if we're going to do that, maybe we work a theme. If that one doesn't work, I think we do Mother Nature. Maybe you could play Mother Nature. Do you think you could pull this off, though? Mother Nature's going to be stern in this play. She's going to be unhappy. And she's going to do a lot of tisk, tisk, tissing, tisk, tisk, tisking, plant the seed. Oh, the S-H-A to the M to the E. Yeah, plant that seed. So when they get home and they say, what is like, so plant a little seed to motivate them that way to say, why am I waiting? I can tisk, tisk, tisk with the best of them. Okay, what do you think? Which one's going to work? I don't know. My faith in this. I'm really still baffled. I don't understand why everyone's just not going. The roads are clear. There's water stations now. There's free food on the way. And we did those tests to say, was it too good to be true? And they said that, you couldn't have it either way. Okay, let's get to the plays. Yeah, hey, everyone, Ada here. So there was a lot of plays they went through over the next. This was one of the larger towns, not that far out of the states of Kansas and Nebraska, crossroads, where a lot of people had stopped. But still a ways away from where the census was in the heart of the country. Or the former country. So they did a play about the goddess of goodness, the Green Goddess of goodness, and her appealing and setting the example of how good it is, how good it feels, how goodness causes things to grow, and that you could even get Green Goddess dressing at the, there was multiple vendors hired and paid, by the worshippers of Shishat to have the dressing there for free is a metaphorical confirmation of how good it is to be good and just to do good by participating in something good for everyone. And that play was actually, they started booing the Green Goddess, the moss-based woman. And then they did the play with Mother Nature, or stern Mother Nature, not happy with the people of the Midwest and speaking her mind. And oh, did she forbid a little bit of time from the stage, to the metaphorical people on stage. It was supposed to be a place where they could identify. And Isosceles played a standard like a traveler that said, no, no, I'm not like in Mother Nature. And then they said, well, what do you care, Mother Nature? And Mother Nature said, well, you're a part of nature. I just want you to flourish and go there where to be a part of this new society. I'm not here for society. And so that play, and again, the people who started to express their displeasure with the Mother Nature play. So then there was a great, they did go to the next one, was a community play. And it was actually kind of set up like a fake historical play with both Dr. Triangle and Isosceles going through the great communities of the world. But for some reason, Malibu was the first one. And they said, Dr. Isosceles said, well, I thought it was a great community to live in if you could. But then they talked about many other great communities and societies, you know, that were all for it, but that were, you know, self-supporting and caring. And again, how good it felt to not be just a member, but a participant in those communities. And mostly the audience fell asleep to that one because it was more of a seminar style, historical reenactment. And then they did a play that Isosceles starred in, where Isosceles represented the Eastern Federated States, I think they're called. And Isosceles started to go across and, you know, say, oh, you're all just what I want. All of you spread out from the center. You know, kind of taking to plant the seed of like, oh, go where there's other people, where you could be with numbers of other people, secure, trying to get them to want to attain more security. And that didn't really appeal to anybody. So then they did a great love play. And it was just not just a love. It was like a talk show. It was a good one. It was really like a really good play. It was like Dr. Triangle was playing a doctor, Dr. Triangle, but it was a Dr. Ruth or Emily or, you know, like one of these characters that kind of like you was saying, okay, well, here's it was answering questions, and even the questions, they took questions from the audience. The audience all seemed to be experts, though, or thought themselves experts. So then Isosceles again took over, and they made it fictional again about reports of saying, hey, so what's going on? Here it's like love is in the air there at census and sweepstakes. And we said, well, what could be more romantic than talking about all the romantic things? For couples, all of the wonderful places to spend time together, and then an appeal to those people that aren't coupled, and saying, well, there's also like, and then kind of Isosceles playing different characters. Oh, well, is there anyone for me there? And Dr. Triangle kind of going through, well, oh, that's what appeals to you. Oh, so you're into biceps. Okay, well, let me tell you, we actually have we're planning you're into eyelashes. Okay. Well, when you say you're into them, what do you mean? Okay. Oh, that's a great, and just checking the audience. And of course, people in the audience were like, identifying with, the different characters I saw. So it was what appealed to those characters. They were good at their jobs. And a few people actually did get up and leave, and Isosceles and Dr. Triangle were like, well, they leaving, or are they going all the way? So they kind of barely worked, like maybe like a 0.1%, where the other ones just totally flopped. And then they did compare notes. They said, geez, when you were doing the leader of the Eastern Federated States, there was a couple of people that headed back. And so then they said, okay, I'll turn it over to them. They're talking now. Okay, so here's the thing. So, I mean, those two almost did, you know, worked better than anything else. I think those appeal to people's, you know, they're looking for, those are some natural drives to avoid any hordes from the Eastern Federated States would be terrific even for us. And to find love or like feelings of satisfaction, like an attraction. So that did appeal, but a lot of people just seem set in their ways still. Right, and we've been, I mean, I'm exhausted. We've not been able to motivate the majority of these people. Yeah, so you seem to be getting going somewhere with this, with your idea. Yeah, I mean, I think we just used the most powerful thing we have at our disposal. Yeah, but I don't think that's a good idea. It is, because they say we do one more play with a Dr. Triangle love letter or whatever thing, and then we do it, because we'll probably get more people motivated, maybe more people will go because of that. But if we stick with that play, like, we really get it, people in this loving, you know, stirred up feeling mood, and then we go and get a big boss, we make a mistake, we see what big boss anti-math throws at us. When people see that, they'll head to the place, I can't see, and then the word will spread. Yeah, but we don't have a math principle to get rid of it. Like, I have no idea what math principle we could possibly be working with. No, what we'll do is, Ada's in really good shape, right, Ada? So we'll just stay one step ahead of it. We'll just run. We'll stay on the road, having it chase us down the road, through town. Okay, so like a reverse pie, I wish we would have gone with like a Pied Piper thing, but that's what they said. You two are like the Pied Piper trying to lead us to the census and sweepstakes. That's all we could do is we have to use the things at hand. Yeah, but if we don't have a way to undo it, yeah, but by the time we get to the, if we could take it all the way to the sweepstakes, we'll have enough people that we could, I guess you're right about that, though. I mean, here's an idea, though. We could plant that seed in a play, because a lot of people already know about the experiences they've heard from the people passing through that have dealt with us, and seen us stop some of those, and they think it's probably not true. So we do a play saying we're going to do what my idea is, but then we don't do it. Yeah, I mean, I guess so. I don't know. I just don't know what else to do. I'm stumped. I'm as stumped as I ever have been. But I just have a feeling if we actually do a big boss battle without knowing how we're going to win. So let's do the play. Because I'm just starting to get close to thinking that there is a math principle. It's like almost something about your idea put it at the tip of my tongue. So let's do the play, and then we'll see if it motivates anybody. And Ada here. So they did a play. They did a couple more. They did five more nights of Dr. Triangle as a Dr. Ruth, a dating and loving expert, and answering questions. And a few more people trickled out to go to the World's Fair and sweepstakes. But most people remained steadfast in their not moving and not going thing. They had settled kind of, or had you know, they were empowered by their powerlessness, I think is a way to say it, as a mule, because they say they're not stubborn like us. They're stubborn in a different way. And then what Dr. Triangle and Nicestles did, which, you know, most brilliant performers may or may not do at times, is they pretended to break character, and they had a disagreement about things and said they were fed up. Well, it's happening now. I'm so tired of your performances, Dr. Dr. Triangle is a different Dr. Triangle. For nobody's listening anyway. And I'm tired of performing. And I just want to go back and enjoy the sweepstakes before it happens in 60 more days. And have myself counted in the census and relax. But our job is to motivate these people to go, and they don't seem interested. So we can't go until we convince them that it's a good idea to go, and that there's really no loss in going, and only things to gain. And I'm baffled at what to do, and I can see why you're fed up, but we can't leave until we find a solution. Well, we're not going to find a solution. Well, we have to. We have to work something out. Well, I guess my solution would be. What if we just could do? You know, maybe the people of here have heard about us, and how we've had to one up different strange beings, giant strange beings, running through towns, windmills, and big, you know, wind bags. And, you know, hopefully we don't, maybe we just need to, like, maybe what if one of those came running through here? What would people do? Somebody just said, I dare you. Oh, real, you dare me, huh? Okay, well, no, I don't know if that's the solution. I don't think it would motivate anyone, would it? Okay, they're booing you. Let's just, I guess this is, I don't know if that's a good idea. I think it's a great idea, and as a matter of fact, I'm going to do it. No, don't do it. Are you kidding, or are you really going to do it? I'm going to do it because I think it'll get you to figure out the math principle, and then we'll fix it too, and it'll motivate. And if you don't, then everybody should just start heading to the... what we'll do is just not go to the sweepstakes. We'll run through every town, except for the sweepstakes and World's Fair. So if you're here, you're going to have to deal with us trying to outrun a giant, I don't know, whatever is popular in this area. They grow a lot of wheat here, so it'd be the things that make crows not land. Oh, anti-crow buddies. Okay, I know what you're saying, but I don't... Okay, well, I think the principle... No, don't really... You're not really going to do it, are you? I think the principle, math principle missing here is common sense. Well, that's not a math principle. Oh, boy. Now, Ada here, they Isosceles did trigger... what was a giant anti-crow buddy? Made a straw, you know, that you might see at Halloween time, or if you're at a cornfield or a wheat field, keeping the crows away, rumble into town. And instead of running, the people just went home and closed their doors and gruffed at Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, who hopped in their wagon. And luckily, because it was made of straw and poles, it wasn't super agile. And they did start to let this thing chase it, but it didn't motivate anyone to leave. So they had it chase him around town quite a few times. But then instead of heading to other towns, they realized that the plan wasn't going to work. But where Isosceles was correct was that Dr. Triangle started processing things, and as they were riding the thing and yelling at the people who were still in their path, Isosceles said something. He said, disperse, disperse, head to the, like, still trying to get people to go to the census. But Dr. Triangle turned around and said, did you say disperse? And Isosceles said, yeah, because I was trying to get people out of the way, get moving. And Dr. Triangle said, that's it. That's exact dispersion is a, it is a missing mathematical principle. And they were still, they were saying this while they were, you know, running from a giant anti-crow buddy. And Isosceles said, what do you mean? And Dr. Chang said, mean, median, and mode, central tendency in dispersion. And you mean like mean is like the middle? No, no, mean is the sum of all data and values divided by the number of data points. Or something, I don't know. But that's not the exact principle missing anyway. Okay, so the mean, so which one is the median, is the middle, right? Yeah, the center, exactly the center. And mode is all a mode. No, no, mode is the most frequent value. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, it's key to a census is like a variance, a deviation, range. Is any of this ringing a bell? No. Okay, so the people on the way to the census are dispersed. We just need a way to measure that dispersion. And the central tendency would be the starting point. So the center of the census is the starting point, but we could do the census. I don't know. I guess that was the missing principle all along. It was, we were just blind to it. We couldn't understand it because it wasn't there. It actually, we did make the census possible by trying to pull in some of the people. I guess I still don't have a grasp of the math, the underlying math principle, because it's missing. Right, I'm positive. So, we could get deeper into it, but that's it. Once we have that, we could figure out the estimated population of the area. Yeah, true dispersion. We can do actual census. Okay, so what was it again? What charms should I hold? I think that charm there, all those dots, those look like data points. And I have this one, it's a 3 M's, mean, median, and mode. I think that's what that stands for. So we're going to hold it up, and then it's a central tendency. Central tendency in dispersion. Okay. It's a good thing this was not that much of a boss, because it's just running after us. Yeah, but Ada's getting tired, so it's time to finish this up. Okay, before we finish it up, though, so we don't need to move anybody. No, we needed to kind of... I guess we were stubborn, too. We didn't accept that they didn't want to go to the census. And maybe the sooner we would have accepted it, we would have realized... maybe our refusal to accept it is what triggered me remembering. So I guess it all worked out. But, yeah, we should, if we just accepted that not everybody's going to go, then we would have known that... we would have been able to use the math, I guess. Okay, but okay, ready? I'm ready. Oh, Shashat, the missing, please restore the principle. Oh, knower of the balance of mathematics, keeper of the math, please return to us the principle missing from this area. An essential principle we need right now, here, today. Oh, Shashat, please return central tendency in dispersion so that we might use your principles, the principles of mathematics, for good today. Yeah, on your honor, Shashat, I agree. You know, it worked, so there, wow. Yeah, so we could go back... yeah, I really, all that talk about, I'd like to get back to that. I want to actually just partake in the, well, we can't be in the sweepstakes because we're part of the, oh, okay. Well, then I'll just maybe, I enjoy the idea, you know, the idea of people dating. Brings me happiness. Okay, great. Let's go. Ada, you mind if you, let's pull over because Ada's tired. We'll give Ada some water. We'll sleep, and then we'll head into town. Sounds good. Head to the center of the World's Fair, sweepstakes and census. Good night, Ada. Good night, Dr. Triangle and Isosceles, and good night, everyone. All right, I want to thank all our recent patrons, Casey, Above C, and James. Thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Rachel, Gallic, and Sarah, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Shane, Mark, and Reginald, thanks, thanks, and good night. Marissa, Dennis, and Aubrey, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Adrian, Melissa, and Adam, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Daniel, Gary, and Catherine, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Todd, Carla, and Kathleen, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Karen, Sergey, and Jeff, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Ryan, Bridget, and Lena, thanks, thanks, and good night. Brittany, Kaz, and Lauren, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Amanda, David, and Hedgehog, thanks, thanks, and good night. Helene, Nate, and Charlene, thanks, thanks, and good night. Samuel, Ann, and Brett, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Mary, Michael, and Ethan, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Maria, Keith, and Loretta, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Zach, Suguar, and Claire, thanks, thanks, and good night. Nick, Amy, and Wooter, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Miranda, Quinn, and Ellen, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Pammy, Yasmin, and Katie, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Jenny, Lindsay, and Daniel, thanks, thanks, and good night. Megan, Jesse, and Melissa, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Emily, Brooke, and Todd, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. Lilith, Carrie, and Katie, thanks, thanks, and good night. And Abby and Alan, thank you, thanks, thanks, and good night. So thanks, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. I really appreciate it. Sleeping Me exists because of you to support the show on Patreon, support our sponsors. We're a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com, including A Dream Boy, which, according to The Guardian, is full of mystery and rich characters, an instant Night Vale classic. I would wholeheartedly agree with that. And here's the teaser. Someone is changing all the streetlights in Pepper Heights, Cleveland. The color of nighttime is shifting. Everyone thinks they know what happened at the Pepper Heights Zoo, but do they really? It's a masterpiece by Dane Terry. It's called Dream Boy, and you can check it out at nightvalepresents.com or search Dream Boy, one word, in your podcast app of choice. We're also a proud member of PRX. You can see everything they're doing at prx.org, and what else? There's plenty more episodes if you need it. I'm here as long, I'll be here, after show after show after show if you need them tonight. Thanks, and good night. All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix. I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10- to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach, I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple.